More than 2 billion people, ladies and gentlemen, more than 2 billion, which represents 28% of the world's population, are unreached with the gospel. Of some 16,000 people groups in the world today, more than 6,000 of those people groups are still unreached. Quite a bit of work to do, Dr. Newell. And one of the things that I know that I find to be encouraging is I'm hearing more and more people talking about reaching out with the gospel, with food, other services to meet the needs of the many, many people who are unreached. And I know that part of the issue for a lot of people is the fear of, how do I do this? How do I go about doing missions? And for some, it's an individual question. There are congregations, though, where the pastor may have that interest, that desire, but not really know how to. Could you share with us some of the things that people do to equip them, to help them be prepared for missions outreach?
Well, sure, Carl. Thanks for asking the question. And, you know, it's hard to give a blanket answer to that this fits for everybody, but maybe just to give the greater picture would be this. God has called all of us to be witnesses for Him. We should, just as a Christian, feel that I need to be a witness for Him. In the process of being a witness for Him, He gives them the gift of being able to work cross-culturally and to work with people outside of their ethnic group that they are a part of. And going cross-culturally, sometimes it's best. You know, we call them, these are missionaries. These are people that are able to take the gospel outside of their own particular realm of people to other people groups. And that's why when you said earlier, while there's 16,000 people groups in the world today, and of those, 6,000 of them are still unreached, it takes those people that feel that God has led them to go across their culture to another culture to take the gospel to them. So, you know, here domestically in the States, we obviously have the responsibility to reach our neighbors. But many times our neighbors might be those that have come from outside of our area and from outside of our country, and they might be Indians, they might be Indonesians, they might be Chinese, they might be Korean. You know, they might be from all different places. And so we're not saying that you have to get on an airplane and go somewhere necessarily. We're just saying that we need to be willing to take the gospel in the context that God has presented to us, and whether that's going to be right there in our community amongst these peoples of other ethnicities than what we are, maybe even people within our ethnicities and witnessing to them as well. But also we need to be thinking of those who are in distant places, because they're the ones that are still the hardest to reach in areas where the gospel just has never been presented. And so we need people, Carl, who are willing to say, you know, I'm willing to pick up and give my life to a people group that has yet to hear a clear presentation of the message of Jesus Christ.
And so when we make that decision, is that about deciding, you know what, this summer, next summer, two summers from now, I'm going to go and spend 3 weeks with such and such a group and do everything that I can within that 3 weeks to help spread the gospel, to help share the love of Jesus Christ? Or is it more about spending even longer, maybe the entire summer, maybe a year, maybe the rest of a lifetime?
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's both. It's really both, but I'd say this. If this is the first time for some to do this, go ahead and give 3 weeks of your summer. Take your vacation time from work or whatever and go get involved in a different culture, at a different place, with a different maybe group of churches that are out there that can receive you and help you to see what it's like to live amongst them and see what it's like to be culturally different, and yet with the message of the gospel that you're taking with you, that you want to present to them. A short-term 3 weeks, maybe even 3 months, whatever, would be a good thing to do. There's so much to be learned in that way. And I would say this, Carl, anyone that's listening in and says, yeah, maybe I'll go ahead and do that, try to find a place where some long-term missionaries happen to be and go plug into what they're doing so that what you do there is pretty profitable. You know, it's something that helps to enhance the work of someone that already committed themselves long-term. They may have been out there, you know, 5, 10, 15 years, and they'd love to have a group from America come and bring some special programming or something just to help enhance what they have going on there. That's the really best way to do a short-term trip than to just kind of try to pick it out and do it on your own. And there's a lot of mission agencies that can help you do that, and there's a lot of churches that know how to connect with their long-term missionaries that they have out there. And so that's one way to do it. But then maybe there are others that are listening in, and you don't need to be just a young person. You could be someone that's maybe mid-aged or maybe close to retirement, and you say, you know, I want the next years of my life to really count for the Lord, and I am willing to go and to help reach unreached peoples. And that's a long-term commitment. That means there'll be a little bit more requirements to prepare you to do that well, and it might mean a little bit of education. I don't know. Some of this stuff can be done on the Internet, so it doesn't need to be daunting that you can't do it. And then go and give the next years of your life to a people group or to an area, to a mega city that has all kinds of people in it that do not have access to the gospel. And you commit your life to the Lord, He will direct your path. He will direct you where to go and how to do that.
That's interesting. And you mentioned education. I know that in the business world, they've long been encouraging business people to make sure that they learn something about the people of the culture that they'll be going to when they get ready to do business. Is there any necessity for that when people are getting ready to do ministry? Or is it enough to just say, well, I love Jesus, and so I'm just going to go with that knowledge?
You know, Carl, that's really a misconception to think that just your zeal for wanting to win people is going to be enough. No, it takes an ability to understand that people live in different contexts that we call culture that need to be understood in order for us not to make blunders all along the way that discredit us from doing that very thing. So I would say this, get some cross-cultural training. It doesn't need to be something that you go to seminary for 4 years and do. There's culture training centers that could be done to bring awareness to it. Actually, Carl, if you don't mind me shamelessly making a plug here, I have a brand new book coming out this summer that's entitled Crossing Cultures in Scripture, Biblical Patterns for Mission Practice Today. And what it is it goes through from Genesis to Revelation and picks out all the cross-cultural encounters that you have in Scripture, all the major ones, and pulls out what are the lessons for us today in knowing how to go cross-cultural. And so there are helps like that, book, and there's others like that are out there that would be of help. So don't fall for the idea that some people say, well, you know, all of us people, if you scratch everyone's skin and get a quarter inch underneath, well, we're all the same. We're not the same. No. We live our worlds in different worldviews that dictate to us how we are to live our lives day after day. And so a prudent ambassador for Christ takes the time to learn the culture and even the language of the people that they're going to in order to be an effective ambassador for Christ.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen, sharing his insights after many years of working with different cultures, Dr. Marvin J. Newell. He and I will be back in just a few.